kind of been jumping. There I am. I've just kind of been jumping around as the Lord leads. We've already done several messages concerning the Spirit of God, and so this is going to kind of be connected to that subject tonight. But Romans 8, look in verse 1, if you will. We're going to kind of use this as a jumping off place. Therefore, there is therefore no condemnation unto them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the Spirit, but they that are after the Spirit, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want to work on this thought tonight. What does it mean to be spiritual? What does it mean to be spiritual? That may sound like an easy enough topic. I thought about just saying, what does it mean to be spiritual? Well, it means to be spiritual. All right. It's a lot harder to define than you might think, or at least it was for me, and so I kind of pondered on this all day about how to answer that question and define it, and so hopefully you won't be more confused when you leave than you were when you came, and so we'll see if we can't whittle away on this subject of spirituality. What does it mean to be spiritual? I think it's an important question. What does it mean? It's a term we throw around a lot. We talk about so-and-so spiritual, we ought to be spiritual, this person is spiritual, or that spiritual, but we rarely ever stop to actually define what it means. And so we're going to attempt to do that tonight. Father, we pray for your help tonight as we approach your word. Lord, that you'll give me direction, leadership. I pray that you'll help me and give me wisdom what to say, what not to say, how to direct my thoughts. Help all of us, as I often pray on Sunday, on Wednesday night, to put the thoughts of the day aside for a moment and just concentrate on your word, to be present in the room tonight. And we'd all, including myself, be quick to make application of your word, that you'd speak to all of us, again to myself as well, about this important subject tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. When it comes to spirituality or this thing of being spiritual, I find it interesting that we live in a post-Christian era in America, and it seems at least to be my perception could be wrong, but it seems anyway to be my perception that we hear the term spiritual more than we ever have. It seems like everybody's spiritual, and this is spiritual, and this is person is spiritual. And I've mentioned before that Hollywood and celebrities, you know, they've kind of discovered the term as never before. They're all spiritual to some aspect. And I don't mean this to be mean-spirited. Lord knows my heart. But the truth is, I have no idea what they mean when they say that. I mean, that's just the truth. It seems that they mean anything from practicing meditation to yoga to some kind of Eastern religion, to self-discovery, to some kind of vague belief in a higher power. Again, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I just have no concept of what they mean when they say, I'm a spiritual person. I know what they don't mean, that they're blood-bought, born-again children of God, but I have no idea exactly what they're referring to when they say that. Of course, to many people, spiritual is really the same thing as religious. You know, when they think of spiritual, they think of somebody who is religious. You know, Catholic priests can be spiritual, you know, Taliban clerics can be spiritual, Islam, Mormonism, Pentecostals, they're all spiritual, Hezbollah religious leaders, of course, can be spiritual. In our case, people who go to church a lot are considered spiritual, and that's how they think of it. They think of, again, spiritual, just this idea of being religious. When it comes to us as Christians, sometimes it gets confusing as to what genuine biblical spirituality is. We know tonight it's more than religion. Amen. We know that it's more than being religious. But it gets confusing trying to define biblically what it means to be spiritual. We could define spirituality as being spiritual. It doesn't help us any. And so it does get a little confusing. And one of the reasons it gets confusing is because we have a problem. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 6. Well, I guess we got a lot of problems. I'll say amen to that. I got a lot of problems. 1 Samuel 16. Probably shouldn't group you in with me, but 1 Samuel 16, very well-known verse. We have a problem when it comes to understanding spirituality, trying to figure out what it means to be spiritual. And 1 Samuel 16, you're going to know this verse immediately. I could have just quoted it and you would have gotten it. But in verse 7, where the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh where? On the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And we have a problem when it comes to discerning genuine spirituality, and that problem is we can't see the inside. To be honest with you, I'm not always disappointed about that. I don't know that I want to know what everybody thinks. Sometimes I hear enough about what people think. I don't want to know what they think by seeing in their heart. But we have a problem when it comes to discerning spirituality or what spirituality is, because I said we can't see the heart. We have to a degree, tell a book by its cover. I mean, that's the only way that we can discern things. It's the only way we can judge things, because the cover is all we can see. And so as a result of that, we have to judge everything based on what we see and what we observe. Of course, naturally, we have to do that. It's the only way we can discern things. And we're certainly not of the world who believe we should never judge anything. God's pretty clear about the fact we have to make discernments about things. And the only way we can do that is based on the outward appearance. Naturally, we have to always remember how seriously lacking our knowledge is based only on the outward. Amen. We can't just determine something based solely on the outward. We have to keep it in mind that we're at a serious disadvantage when we determine things about people based on the outward appearance, because we're pretty limited in what we can know. Amen. Now, as a result of that, how this ties into spirituality is that as a result of that, we tend to associate certain behaviors with spirituality. Isn't that true? We tend to associate certain behaviors with spirituality, the absence of certain behaviors with spirituality. If you go to church all the time, you must be spiritual. You know, if you go to bars, you're not spiritual. And so we associate certain behaviors with being spiritual. We associate the absence of certain behaviors as an indicator of the fact that a person is spiritual. The problem with this is that anyone can adopt spiritual, if you want to use that term, anyone can adopt spiritual behavior, what we deem as spiritual behavior. Anybody can be an imitator of what we might call, whatever spiritual behavior means to you. Anyone can imitate that. Anyone can adopt that. You don't have to be born again to adopt spiritual behavior. It gets kind of old trying to live it outwardly, what you're not inwardly. But anybody can be an imitator of it and adopt it. So we have this thing going on here where we can't see the inside. And what makes this worse is people can adopt, again, whatever you consider to be spiritual behavior or the absence of spiritual behavior, and we can make decisions. We make decisions on that. You know, there is no 10-point spiritual checklist where we observe somebody and say, well, they got 8 out of 10 boxes checked, so they must be, I don't know what, you're at 7 maybe. You know, you're kind of spiritual, 8. You're fairly spiritual, 10. You're the Apostle Paul, I guess, if you can check all 10 boxes on this spiritual checklist where we observe people. And, of course, we can't do that. As we're going to see in a moment, and I'm going to give you a little bit more detailed definition, but as we're going to see in a moment, spirituality or being spiritual is an inward thing. It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the mind. It's not outward behaviors or outward actions. That's not what spiritualism is. Or spiritualism. That's something completely different. That's not what spirituality is, all right? It's not outward behavior or outward actions. That's not the definition of spirituality. Now, the belief that outward actions is the same thing as spirituality, that's textbook legalism. That's what legalism is. The belief that we either obtain a relationship with God through outward behavior and actions, or we maintain our salvation and relationship with God through outward actions, or we somehow are spiritual. We somehow maintain our fellowship with God, or maintain our walk with God somehow through outward actions or behavior. All of those are textbook legalism. That's what legalism is: the belief that we're saved by outward actions, or we maintain our walk with God through outward actions, or we maintain our salvation through outward actions. Let me say this. Well, I'm thinking about it. Legalism, by the way, is heresy. Right. Is absolute heresy. Heresy means a serious and fundamental departure from the faith, or a serious and fundamental departure from the Word of God, which making salvation or spirituality dependent on outward works would be. That would be the very definition of what heresy is. And there's not much more serious thing you can do than to accuse somebody of heresy, whether it's legalism or some other thing. I mean, it's not much more serious a thing you can do that. And I know, I understand today that in Christian circles we throw around legalism like the world throws around racism. We certainly do. But to charge someone with legalism serious business, as I said, is all heresy would be. And it's not something we should just accuse someone of or slander someone with unless they're teaching heresy. And fortunately for you, there ain't nobody around here teaching legalism. And so that's what legalism would be. It would be making our walk with God, making our spirituality based on outward action. Now, having said that, there are no outward actions. There's no outward behavior that a person can do that of itself makes that person spiritual. Do we agree on that? Having said that, are there actions and behaviors that a spiritual person should do? Well, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. There are certain things that people should do if we're a spiritual person that we're going to do, actions, behaviors that we're going to do. We're talking about actions that are the result of being spiritual, not the source of being spiritual. But spirituality should certainly produce some kind of action. Are there things a spiritual person shouldn't be involved in? Are there actions and behaviors that we should not be a part of? Sure, absolutely. There should be. Again, not as the source of spirituality, but as the result of spirituality. I would submit tonight, spirituality is an inner thing. But an inner spirituality is pretty useless unless it impacts outward behavior. Unless it impacts outward actions, it's a pretty useless thing. What good is it if it doesn't do something outwardly to us, if it doesn't change our behavior and change who we are? Amen? So let's work on this thought, the one I wrestled with all day, and that is, what is spirituality? How do we define it? What does it mean? I'm going to give a definition. If you were preaching, you could come up with your own, but this is mine. It's a little bit wordy, but bear with me. And it is this. Spirituality is a mindset. It is a way of thinking. It is a way of perceiving the world, a way of perceiving the issues of life and the decisions of life that is only made possible by way of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So let me trot through that one more time. Spirituality is a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of perceiving the world and what's going on around me, the issues of life. It's a way of making decisions, the decisions of life, that's only made possible because we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Unsaved people can't be spiritual. They might be able to carry out spiritual actions, adopt a spiritual behavior, but they're not spiritual. If you notice in Romans 8 and verse 6, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually what? Minded is life and peace." And so this thing of spirituality is a mindset. We see a contrast here, don't we? There is a carnal way of seeing things. There's a carnal way of perceiving things. There's a carnal way of perceiving the world and the issues of life, the decisions of life. And there's a spiritual way of doing that. And of course, being indwelt by the Spirit of God, it means we're saved. All right? But that certainly doesn't ensure or guarantee where we are as far as being spiritual. I guess we could say this: salvation is the entryway into spirituality. Right, but just because I'm saved and indwelt by the Spirit of God is no measure of where I am spiritually. Doesn't necessarily make me what we might think of as a spiritual person. I remind you that the church at Corinth, they were saved and they were indwelt by the Spirit of God. But I think most of us understand that many of them were far from being spiritual, even though they were indwelt. So you've got to be indwelt for spirituality to even be possible. So beyond being initially, I don't know if this is even a term, I may be breaking theological ground here, but beyond being initially spiritual in the sense of his indwelling, to be spiritual is to be led and directed and under the control of the indwelling Spirit. To have him affecting my mindset, to have him affecting the way I think, to have him affecting the way I perceive what's going on around me. To have him affecting my decisions in the way of life. That's spirituality, to be spiritual. In Galatians 5, look over there if you will. Galatians 5. It To be spiritual is to be led, directed. I guess we could say under the control of the Spirit of God, so that He affects my mindset, my way of thinking, my perception of the world, the issues of life, the decisions of life, and so forth. Again, kind of useless if it doesn't affect these things. But in Galatians 5 and verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, he says, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. He says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I love that phrase. If you look up the word sometimes, see where he says, if we live in the Spirit, that phrase literally means to be alive to the Spirit's indwelling. How are you alive to something? Well, you're keenly aware. You're alive to the fact that the Spirit of God dwells within you. We're alive to the fact that the Spirit of God wants to control our mindset, our way of thinking, our decision-making, our perception of the world. We're alive to that knowledge. I understand that there's something within me that is far wiser than I am. There's something within me that can give greater direction than I can. The Spirit of the Holy God lives within me, and to live in Him is to be alive to that presence and know that He's there. It's amazing how probably many of us, I'll just say myself, how often I can go throughout the day and not be alive to His presence. Making my own decisions, my own choices, doing my own thing, because I've been down this road before. And so I'm just going to do this and do this and say that and say this and do what I want to do without being alive to His presence. It's not only to be aware of it, to be awake to it. Amen? Now we see that in the second part of this, we see this idea of being awake to His presence, of being alive to His presence. In the second part of the verse where He says this, if we live, if we're alive, if we're awake to His presence, in verse 25, He says, then let us all just do something else. Let's walk in the Spirit. If we're alive to His presence, if we're awake to His presence, then maybe we should allow Him to control things, to take control. That phrase walk, again, you can look it up for yourself. I don't have the only dictionary in the world, so you can look it up too. But in verse 25, it says, let us also walk in the Spirit. That word walk comes from a Greek word, which means to walk in a single row. We might say this, it's to play follow the leader. To walk in a single row behind the Spirit's leadership. As He walks, I follow. If I'm alive, awake, I don't want to be out front. If I'm alive and awake to His presence, then I should be walking in a row behind His leadership. Allowing Him to have control. Come on, if that's not what spirituality is, I don't know what it would be. To be awake to His presence, to be walking in a straight line with Him in a row behind Him, allowing Him to lead, again, my mindset, my thinking, my way of perceiving the world, the issues of life, the decisions that I make, to be lined up with what the Spirit of God who is within me is leading me to do. Amen? Spirituality is to be alive to the Spirit so that I'm walking in a straight line with Him in a row behind Him. Now we see this idea of spirituality, of what it means to be in line with Him, what it means to be spiritual. We see it throughout the New Testament in things that we just kind of maybe think of as being taken for granted. Look over in Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Spirituality, again, is not just outward behavior, though there should be accompanying outward behavior. How do we see spirituality played out? What is it like? Well, first of all, when it comes to being spiritual and what a spiritual person is like or what it produces in a person's life, it's the knowledge of the will of God in my life and the issues of life that only being under the Spirit's control and influence can bring. Look what he says in Colossians 1 and verse 8. Colossians 1 verse 8. Who also declare unto us your love in the Spirit. And he goes on in verse 9, for this cause also, since the way you heard it, do not cease to pray for you. But then notice what he says at the end of the verse, that you might be filled. He connects to this idea of the Spirit and the love of the Spirit to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Being spiritual, being indwelt by the Spirit of God, being controlled by the Spirit of God, is this ability to know God's will, to understand the will of God in a person's life. How badly we need to understand God's will. and what God's will is concerning my life, God's will concerning my actions, my behavior, my thoughts, my processes, my way of seeing things, how I live, what I do. And it's only by not just being indwelt, because there's a lot of people who are indwelt have no concept of the will of God for their life. It's about being indwelt by the Spirit of God, but yet at the same time walking with Him and being alive to His presence and walking in row with Him in such that I understand the will of God for my life. That I have a knowledge of what it is God wants of me, not just of me, but what God, what does He want of all of us and what does He want of me? And that's only possible by being in tune with the one who dwells within us. But not only that, it is the wisdom, the discernment of what to do with that knowledge, which only the Spirit can bring. Notice what He says in verse 9. He says, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all what? Wisdom. It's now knowing what I think God wants me to do, knowing that the will of God for my life that the only Spirit of God can bring, and now having the wisdom to carry that out. The wisdom. What do I do now with it now that I know? What wisdom does the Spirit of God give with me? Because the Spirit of God certainly wants to reveal God's will to us and how to carry out that will, what we're to do with it. Amen? The wisdom to discern it certainly is there. You know, the Greek word from which we get the word understanding, I love this definition. You may not be as impressed as I was, but I love words and definitions. And so the Greek word from which we get understanding, the Greek word that it comes from, is defined as this. It is defined as quickness of apprehension. Here's my favorite part. The penetrating consideration that comes before actions. Quickness of apprehension. The penetrating consideration that comes before I act, before actions. And so it's through the Spirit of God that dwells within me. When I'm alive to Him, I can discern God's will and I can have the wisdom to know how to act upon that. And the Spirit of God helps me have this penetrating consideration before I talk or speak or act or do. Come on, I've had the Spirit of God more than one time in life and in the pulpit tell me to shut up. Don't say that. And I've had Him correct me sometimes in the will of God. I think this is what God's will is, and God will come along and help me to understand that. And I'm thankful for the consideration that the Spirit of God brings. I'm thankful when the Spirit of God comes along and says, slow down, think about this. Amen. Spirituality involves submission to the direction of the Spirit, certainly, in order to live life that's pleasing to the Lord, that seeks to make His investment in my life worthwhile. Look what He says in verse 10. That ye might walk what? Worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Our desire should be to be everything that God wants us to be. Is there anybody in this room tonight that's ever going to be worthy of what Christ paid for us? Absolutely not. Does that diminish the fact that we should strive to be as worthy in every aspect of life as we can possibly be? We should always strive to be not just a mediocre testimony, but be the best testimony that we can be, or to have the best behavior, or the best actions, or the best attitude that we should possibly have. Christ gave His life for us. And the Spirit of God that dwells within me, part of this thing of spirituality is when that Spirit, when I'm in tune with it, helps me to be the best version of what I can be for Him. Amen? While spirituality is not works or outward behavior, submission to the indwelling of the Spirit, which is spirituality, leads to works. He says in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. That's not pleasing unto you, by the way. Pleasing unto the Lord. And then He says in verse 10, being fruitful in what? Every good work. And so our desire should be, where can I be the best? How can I be the best? What can I do that's the best? How can I serve? How can I be the best testimony? What can I do that God's going to consider a good work in my life? And the Spirit of God leads us into those things. I don't think the Spirit of God leads us to mediocrity. Leads us into being into good work. Submission to the leadership of the Spirit of God turns on the light of my understanding. It allows me to grow in knowledge. In verse 10, again, that we might walk worthy, Lord, unto the pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in what? The knowledge of God. You know, when I'm in submission to the Spirit of God, when I'm alive to His presence and I'm submitting to Him, God turns on the light of my understanding so that I can see and understand. You've heard me say before, you can't teach a rebel anything. You can't preach a rebel into obedience. You just can't do it. It takes the Spirit of God that turns on the light of our understanding so that when we submit to it, now we can go, I understand. There's been countless things since my wife and I got in church and she got saved and I got the ministry that I've just done. I didn't understand why we had to do it. I didn't understand why we couldn't do it. But I found out that when I just obey the leadership of the Spirit and I just obey God's word, sooner or later, I understand. Because God turns on the light of my understanding. And submission to the Spirit helps us understand. You're never going to understand God's word fighting against the Spirit of God. Amen. Knowledge, it says here in verse 10, it says increasing in knowledge of the Lord. I love this word too. The word knowledge used here. Listen to this. This is good. Are you ready? Okay. You don't want to miss this. Knowledge here means participation of the knower with the one who is known. Participation of the knower. So in other words, it's not just accumulating facts. It's coming to know Him. Coming to know Him. It's not just the lost that need Him to understand God's word. It's us too, to know Him. But again, the light of our understanding isn't turned on simply by being indwelt. It's turned on by being surrendered. Almost finished with this list here. Spirituality is the result of submission to the Spirit within us and enables us to face life. Amen. To lead a victorious, saved life. Look over in Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might according to His power. When I'm in submission to the Spirit of God, I'm strengthened to face life. He says in verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with what? Man, there's joy that comes from being awake to the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And allowing Him to strengthen us to face life. Listen, that's far better than having our lives being directed by how we feel about everything. Or our emotions are being blown to and fro because we can't find some kind of emotional equilibrium. But when we're indwelt by the Spirit of God and we're awake to His presence and I'm submitting and surrendering to Him, it helps me face life. In the face of the challenges of life and the difficulties of life. Listen, this thing about being indwelt and attempting to be spiritual, attempting to allow the Spirit of God to direct my thinking, my thought processes, my way of life. Listen, the way I process trial is different when I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God and listening to His leadership. Spirituality is learning to listen to the Spirit of God in my life so that I begin to develop the fruits of the Spirit. He goes on down in Galatians 5. On down. Well, let's go to Galatians 5. Did I turn there yet? Galatians 5. Oh, I skipped one. No wonder I was messed up. Spirituality is walking in spirit so they begin to get victory over sin. In Galatians 5, verse 16, if I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you get victory over sin? You don't get it through stubbornness. You don't get it through bullheadedness. You get it by surrendering to the Spirit of God whom we are awake to that dwells within us. Because He'll be pretty quick to tell you, put that down. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Stop it. He's pretty good at that stuff. It's annoying how good He is at it. But He'll help us with sin. Spirituality is listening again to the Spirit of God in my life so that I begin to develop the fruits of the Spirit. He goes on down to Galatians 5. We're all familiar with this, verses 22 through 25. We see these fruits of the Spirit. That doesn't come by just being indwelt. It comes by being awake to His presence and listening to that still small voice, allowing Him to affect my mindset, my way of seeing the world, the decisions that I make, how I process things, how I think about things. Begins to produce these fruits of the Spirit. Amen? Now, none of this is accomplished through changing outward behavior. None of it is. To be spiritual is to be alive to the Spirit of God that dwells within me so that I'm walking in line with Him in the path that He directs and allowing Him to affect my thinking, my discernment, and my life. Are there things that spiritual people do? Yes. Are there things spiritual people don't do? Yes. And to call that legalism is nonsense. Amen. All right? There are things that spiritual people do and spiritual people don't do. But being spiritual is something that's measured by how much of the Spirit of God is in control of me. You know, the definition of spiritual alone ought to be enough for us to see that spiritual is not a fixed position once achieved. Man, I wish it was. Wouldn't it be great if you could finally climb to spirituality and once there, you're locked in. All right, that'd be great, wouldn't it? But spirituality is not a fixed position. The very definition of the word should tell us that it's not a fixed position that once you achieve, you don't ever have to worry about it again. Well, I've achieved spirituality. Move on to something else now because I'm good. It's not that way, is it? The battle for spirituality is a conflict between me and the spirit that dwells within me. It's a wrestling match over how much he will control versus how much I control. The more he controls, the more spiritual I am. The more I control, the less he controls, and the more carnal and self-focused I am. The more selfish I become, the more of me I control. And so the more of me he controls, the more spiritual I become. The more my thoughts concerning the world and discernment and thinking and seeing the world and seeing things and issues of life becomes more godly. Does this make sense to us? So let me ask this or answer this question and we'll be done here. What is, if that's what spirituality is, if it is a mindset, a way of thinking, if it's a situation where I relinquish control so that the Spirit of God, I'm awake to his presence, and I begin to allow him to shape my thinking about things, because we get in trouble when we start trying to shape our own thinking. Amen. We let him shape our thinking, let him shape our attitude. We understand it's not outward behavior, that's legalism, which is heresy. But what's the path to this? Well, I'm going to give you a few things and we'll quit here. What is the path to spirituality? Here's the first thing. Number one, this should be a no-brainer. You got to be saved. All right? There's got to be regeneration before there can be spirituality. All right? You can't be spiritual where the Spirit doesn't live. All right? So we're not going to spend any time on that because I think if you got that, say amen. All right? You got to be saved before you can be spiritual. There can be no spirituality where the Spirit of God does not dwell. And so he has to be there. And if we're constantly wrestling with carnality and worldliness and we just can't seem to get our spiritual act together, then maybe we ought to consider whether we're saved or not. But we're not going to dwell on that. But secondly, you got to be, first of all, you have to be regenerated. There has to be regeneration. But then secondly, spirituality, and this is the part we probably don't like the most, spirituality requires time and growth. Spirituality requires time and growth. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're Americans, so we just want to pop it in the microwave. And then stand there tapping our foot because it's taken 3 minutes. Some of us remember when you had to put it in the oven and it took 45 minutes. I guess you put it in the microwave? I guess you put it in the, what's the oven? The what? Toaster oven or the, what's the one I'm thinking about? Yeah, air fryer. Stick in the air fryer. That's even quicker. I don't know why you brought that up. But anyway, spirituality requires time and growth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." He says, "Even as unto babes in Christ. For I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hither though you are not able to bear it, neither are ye now able." You know, spirituality, I said, requires time to grow. Spirituality is a form of spiritual growth, isn't it?
Yes.
Sure it is. Spirituality is a form of spiritual growth. And that takes time. It takes time. We all start out as babes. Amen? Isn't that true? Nobody here tonight was born with a concordance in their head. All right? We all start out as babes, not knowing anything. As I've said before, my wife and I got in church. You know, I thought the book of Job was a book of job. I had no idea why they said it so funny. And like the one guy said, I thought concordance was the last book of the Bible. All right, so we all start out with as babes, knowing nothing. And then we have to grow. We all start out as babes. It takes knowledge. It takes experience. It takes wisdom. It takes time to grow into a mature spiritual Christian. Can I say that again? We all start out as babes, and it takes knowledge and experience and wisdom and time to grow into a spiritual, mature Christian. There is no magic pill that does this. It's why, listen, this is why we don't turn the spiritual leadership of the home over to teenagers. Right? It's why we don't set the spiritual direction in our home by what the kids want. Because they lack the maturity or the spiritual wisdom to make decisions of that nature. It's why God gave them parents. It's why God gave them a father to set the spiritual direction and the spiritual tone in the home. We don't doubt their salvation if they're saved. We don't doubt their love for the Lord. We don't doubt their intelligence or their knowledge. But they lack experience and growth and spiritual maturity to make many of the necessary spiritual decisions that have to be made in a home. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is what we don't do. I know you don't understand it, but the reason you don't understand it is because you haven't achieved a level of spiritual maturity yet to make these decisions. Amen. Well, I thought I might get a few amens with that. Amen. It's why God gave him parents and a father. You know, true spirituality begins with the indwelling of the Spirit. But it takes time and experience and growth to develop into spiritual behavior. As I said, one of the definitions I read is quickness of apprehension, the penetrating consideration that comes before decisions. That takes time to develop. It takes knowledge to develop. It takes experience to develop. Again, it's not an insult to younger people or younger adults, because it's the same reason we never put new converts, regardless of their age, in charge of the church. That's why we don't put children in charge of the church. It's why we don't put younger people in charge of the church. It's why we normally don't make 20-somethings deacons. It's no insult to them, but it takes time and maturity and experience and growth. Now, everybody that's older ain't mature spiritual Christians, but it takes time to accomplish that. Is this making sense to us at all? It's why we don't make 20-somethings as a rule deacon. Now, if you're a 20-something here tonight and you're insulted by that and you're mad because you don't think, I don't think you're spiritual enough to be deacon, case closed, all right? The prosecution rests, all right? It's why we don't make novices pastors. Spirituality takes knowledge for sure, but it also takes time and growth and walking in the Spirit, facing life on your own, the ability to have that quickness of apprehension, that penetrating consideration that comes before words or actions. It takes time to grow into that. You say, well, how much time does it take? Well, there's no set time, but it takes time to grow into it, to become a mature spiritual Christian. Can you love the Lord? Sure, absolutely. Can you be saved? Can you be a sharp, godly young person? Sure. But to be a mature spiritual believer takes time and growth. Facing the experiences of life, understanding how actions have consequences and consideration of all that takes place, it takes time to grow into that. Thirdly, y'all still with me? We all still good so far? All right, thirdly. And going along with time and growth, spirituality requires diligence and mastering the Word of God. True spirituality, spiritual being a spiritual believer, a spiritual mature believer, requires diligence in mastering the Word of God. In Colossians 3 and verse 2 again, he talks about meat. It's accomplishing that meat. Coming to the place where I'm off milk and I'm understanding meat to seriously pursue this diligence in mastering the Word of God. Now listen, nobody knows everything. Amen? We're all still learning. All right? None of us know everything. Thankfully, you don't have to know everything to be spiritual. I'm thankful for that. We don't have to know everything. However, to grow spiritually means to diligently strive. Are y'all listening? Means to diligently strive to understand the Word of God as a whole, how the parts all fit together, how one truth or one position affects another, how a truth affects my position, how my position relates to the Word of God. So it's how one truth or one position affects other positions. You know, you can't take anything isolated, one position. You take a position on something, it affects other positions. You can't say, well, I believe this about this, and it has no impact on other stuff in the Word of God. It absolutely does. There's no such thing as an isolated position on something. So when you take this stand on this, it's going to affect this and this and this and this. And it takes time and discernment and to grow in the Word of God. Again, not everybody knows, nobody knows everything, but to come to understanding how all this fits together. It's easy to stand up and say, well, I think this about this. Well, good on you. But if you don't understand how it impacts this and this and this, then you're going to end up in a mess. We have to have some discernment to learn and to grow. Why does God say what He does about this? Well, I just don't like that. Well, why does God say what He does? Why does God oppose this thing? Why does God encourage us to this thing? Why does God sometimes encourage us to the things that are the opposite of the world? Why does God say this about this? Why does God prohibit us from doing this? Why does God say I shouldn't do that? And how does that affect this over here? To be a mature spiritual believer, we have to strive to try to discern these things. Does this make sense to us? It doesn't mean, well, preacher says if I don't understand the whole Bible, then I'm just ignorant, I don't know anything. Oh, stop it. All right? That's not what I said. What I said, if we want to grow toward spirituality, we need to strive to master God's Word in these things. And spirituality is not an achievement. Neither is this really an achievement, is it? We're still continuing to grow. I've been doing this a long time. You know, I started to preach in 81, so I've been preaching a couple of days now, and I still haven't mastered everything. Have you? You say, well, what are you doing, Pastor? You haven't mastered. Well, if you're waiting for the guy to come along that's mastered everything, you're going to be along. You better wait for Jesus to come back, all right? But we need to try to understand passages and scriptures in context. This is, and have an understanding of God's Word in that sense. You know, one of the biggest reasons, or not say that, let me not say that. One of the reasons why spirituality is so lacking in churches today is because generally speaking, we're in a generation of proof. We're in the proof text generation. What I mean by that is mainly, you know, many don't understand the Word of God as a whole, how the parts fit together, how this affects this and this and this. And why Jesus says this, or why God says this about this and this, and why He says don't do this and do this. They don't understand how all that fits together. What they have is a list of proof text to prove their position, or a list of proof text to oppose what they don't like. And that's not the same thing as understanding how the Word of God fits together. Amen? And we're in a proof text generation where most people just, they don't like something, they just get their concordance out and find a bunch of verses they think proves the opposite. Or if they get in an argument with somebody, they get a bunch of proof texts to prove their position. Listen, you're never going to grow being a proof text Christian. You've got to begin to try to discern God's Word. There's no spirituality without time and effort in mastering God's Word, working toward mastering God's Word. We all start out as children in understanding. And we seek to grow into adulthood by understanding His Word. Look over in 2 Timothy. Take heart, we're almost done here. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, you know this passage. Verse 13, we have the warning. There's going to be evil men and seducers. They're going to wax worse and worse. Listen, it's very easy today to be deceived. And he goes on in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We should never just toss away people who've taught us things. And then he says in verse 15, and that from a what? Child. He talks about Timothy here, as a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Then he assures him all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. And the goal is in verse 17, to grow into a what? A man, to grow into a man of God, thoroughly prepared for whatever God has for us, whatever God wants from us. And we grow into manhood, if you will, adulthood, maturity, by taking heed to the Scriptures and understanding them and beginning to try to master what the Word of God says. Does this make sense to us? Fourthly, And again, going along with what we've seen, spirituality requires a willingness and a readiness to serious self-judgment. I hate this one. Serious self-judgment. Are you like me? Don't you love judging yourself? Isn't that a blessing? Okay, well, I guess you don't understand. Galatians chapter 6. Nothing I like more than discovering I'm wrong. Galatians chapter, especially if you're wife, that's the worst kind of self-judgment. She was right. How can I ignore that? Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye that are what? You see, unspiritual people throw people away. Spiritual people try to restore relationships. He says, if a man be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness. And then he says this, considering who? Thyself. Considering what everybody else is doing. Considering what this person did. Considering what Brother Daniel did. Considering how this is. Considering the preacher. No, considering thyself. Spirituality requires a willingness and a readiness to serious self-judgment. The word considering means to take heed to your own spiritual state or level. To give heed to it. To give serious mental consideration. To ask myself, where am I? Where am I? It's always easy to point to somebody else, but where am I? And we have to ask ourselves that all the time, Brother Hubbard. Where am I spiritually? What's the state of my spiritual life? What's the state of my spiritual condition? To have a humble view of self, a realistic view of your own spiritual state. He says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he what? Deceiveth himself. To be fully aware, have a humble approach or a humble attitude of my own spiritual state. I could say more about that, but so we can finish here. Fifthly, going along with number four, we need to be quick to respond to conviction. If you're going to be spiritual, you have got to be quick to respond to conviction. Quick to repent rather than being defensive. Our default position is defense. Well, that slapped me upside the head, so I'm going to get defensive about it. No, spirituality requires me, if this bothered me, maybe there's something about this that I need to really think about. Maybe I need to do some self-examination. Maybe I ought to consider why it bothers me and why that got to me. Instead of being defensive, be quick to say, there's an extremely remote possibility it could be me, all right? And I should at least explore this extreme remote possibility rather than getting defensive about it. I'm telling you, there's an old saying, you know, that the dog squalls the loudest is the one that got hit. And if something bothers you, then it might be we need to ask ourselves, why is this so upsetting me? Rather than getting defensive, get right. And then lastly, kind of where we started, I guess, we just need to be sensitive to his leadership. He said, Galatians 5, if we walk in a row behind him, even at first I don't understand or like it, then I should just stay in line with him and his leadership in my life. You know, spirituality is not something gained by outward adherence. It's not something gained by outward adherence to a list of do's and don'ts or certain outward actions or behaviors. That's not what spirituality is. That's what legalism is. And ain't nobody around here teaching legalism. There are actions and behaviors, however, associated with spirituality, but they're associated as a result, not its source, certainly. And I don't want to make spirituality tonight sound like it's so hard nobody can accomplish it. That's not my intent at all, because we all can. We can all grow into mature spiritual believers. We can all do that. And continue that process, because it's not a fixed position. Nobody here tonight has accomplished once and for all the mature spiritual Christian position. We're still striving to achieve it and to stay there where we need to be. But after we're indwelt, it takes time. It takes desire to grow into the spiritual child of God he wants to be. There are no spiritual shortcuts. There's no pills. After regeneration, it takes time and growth to begin to develop that quick apprehension, that penetrating consideration that comes before actions and decisions, that spiritual discernment of self and truth and decisions. It takes diligence and seeking to begin to master God's word, to understand how the parts affect other parts, how one position affects another, how one scripture affects another scripture, to understand why God says what he does about things, why he opposes, encourages others. At times, taking a position off of the world, it takes more than being a proof tech Christian. It takes time for this. It takes a quickness and willingness to serious self-judgment. It takes a quick response to conviction in my life. It requires learning to hear that still small voice of the Spirit of God, to be sensitive to his leadership by obeying. Spirituality is not the result of outward actions or behavior, yet spirituality is pretty useless if it doesn't have an outward effect. If it doesn't affect my life and my actions and my behaviors. If it doesn't affect what is most important to me, what is the real priority here? What is the real thing that's important here? It's all directed by spirituality, isn't it? I want to be more awake to him, because the more awake to him I am, the less awake I am to self. But I need to be constantly aware that there is this wrestling match, because the only thing really standing between me and spirituality is not a church, it's not a preacher, it's not people, it's me. It's me. And I'm the one in a continual wrestling match with the Spirit of God who dwells within me. We ought to strive to be spiritual and to be a spiritual people. Why don't you stand with me, if you will? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I have a verse of invitation. I have no idea how God may have spoken to you tonight, but maybe you want to come to the old-fashioned altar and just say, Lord, that's what I want to be. I want to strive to be a mature spiritual believer. Would you lead and direct? Help me to know my weaknesses. Help me to know my strengths. Help me to know what I need to do. Give me discernment. Help me to understand your word when I read it, to grow in you, because that's what I want to be in my life. Man, I hope it would be our desire for a church, because the truth is, if we're all striving to be spiritual, we'll be a spiritual church. Maybe we just need to come and say, Lord, that's what I want, and be open to him.